Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. I don't think Peter, James, and John thought their day was going to end up like this. It probably started like any other day. Now, 6 days ago, Matthew wants us to pay attention to, Jesus told them to take up their cross and follow him. And our lectionary also reminds us this is the time that Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. So all this happened 6 days ago, and 6 days later, they're still following him around the countryside. Is anything going to happen? Then Jesus calls the three away from the 12. He's been spending concentrated time with Peter, James, and John. They head up the mountain. So far, so normal. Jesus is always getting away to pray. This time, he takes them with him. But as soon as they get to the top of the mountain, Jesus is transfigured before them. His face shines like the sun. His clothes dazzle with light. And then Peter, James, and John somehow recognize that on one side of Jesus is Moses, and on the other side of Jesus is Elijah. The law and the prophets come to bear witness to the Messiah of God. God is doing something. God is revealing something. And Peter, good old Peter, he wants to capture it. He suggests building three buildings, one each for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. But then God draws close. Peter can't get all the words out before a bright cloud overshadows them, obscuring their vision. Inside the cloud, a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Terror fills them. They can't fight. They can't flee. They freeze instead, overcome by fear, as Matthew has it. They can't see that here Jesus is revealing God's glory and humanity's glory within it. So can Peter, James, and John, can we face our fears in order to build a relationship with this glorious God? Throughout the scriptures, God's presence overwhelms. Did you catch the description of God's presence in our first lesson? "Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain, the sight of the people of Israel." The whole mountain is covered in clouds. God's presence, his holiness, his glory overwhelms the Israelites. The almighty creator of heaven and earth somehow present right there, right then. And we human beings react in all kinds of ways. We freeze like the disciples. We fight like those who carried Jesus to Golgotha. We flee like the disciples on that night. Or we do something else. We try to tame God's overwhelming presence. Before describing his experience of the transfiguration in our second lesson, Peter talks about cleverly devised myths. The experience of God overwhelms us, so we fight to domesticate it, to bring it down to our level, to bring God out of the cloud instead of joining him in it. I wonder if Peter was starting to devise clever little myths when he suggested three houses for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Some way to capture it, to put it in a bottle, to hold it forever. God's presence overwhelms, and we like to devise clever little myths to keep our distance somehow make God less scary. But when we do, we miss out on life with God. We content ourselves with the stories we make up. We shy away from a relationship with a person who's inviting us to be part of his life. Peter gets it. In our second lesson, he reflects back. He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He reflects on his experience in our second lesson. He talks about being an eyewitness of Jesus' majesty, of actually hearing the voice that said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This means the prophet's message about the coming Messiah was more fully confirmed. Prophecies, he says, don't come from the human beings who deliver them. They come from God. On the mountain, God's presence overwhelmed Peter. He may have tried to tame that presence with those three houses, but we see that he learned instead to stop and listen. Now, this is the first and the last thing about life in relationship with Jesus. It is scary and overwhelming sometimes. You're just not going to be able to get away from that. But in face of that, instead of fighting or flying or freezing, we choose to listen to the voice that created the world. The mountaintop voice told Peter, James, and John to listen to Jesus. Be attentive to this, Peter tells his readers, as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Now, it's hard. It's hard to pay attention to Jesus. Our cleverly devised myths hide his light under a bushel. Our distractibility darkens our view. The testimony about Jesus, though, listening and meeting Jesus in that testimony, removes the lamp cover and dispels the darkness of our fears and allows us to see God and ourselves as we really are. First, we listen. And second, we keep listening. Peter tells us not just to be attentive to the lamp for a little while. You will do well to be attentive to this, Peter writes, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. In the New Testament, the day often refers to the last day, the end of time, the judgment. It seems like here Peter has two horizons in mind. Paying attention until the morning star rises in our hearts now, and to keep paying attention until that last day dawns, when Jesus, the morning star, will rise in every heart and will set the world to rights. Listening to Jesus is not a one-off event. It has to become a habit. At Holy Spirit, we pay attention through our spiritual habits of weekly worship, attending formation classes, daily Bible reading and prayer. We keep listening by developing habits that bring us again and again to the morning star who is rising in our hearts. So listen, keep listening, and then third, share. But when the time is right. After the cloud lifts, Jesus touches Peter, James, and John and says, "Get up and do not be afraid." As they are coming down the mountain, their hearts aflame with the dawning of the morning star, Jesus says, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Now, as far as we can tell, they followed orders. They kept their mouths shut throughout the rest of Jesus' ministry. They didn't mention it when the soldiers took Jesus away. They held their tongues as Jesus hung upon the cross. They told no one on Holy Saturday. It was only on that first day of the week that first day of the new creation when Jesus rose from the dead, that they began to speak. Then for 50 days, they paid attention to the risen Christ. They paid attention when he ascended into heaven. They paid attention until the morning star of the Holy Spirit rose in their hearts at Pentecost. And then they shared. They shared what they had seen. They shared what they had heard. They shared that in Jesus Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. They shared that on the mountain, Jesus revealed God's glory. When we listen and keep listening, we become Jesus' good news. We are changed. We are transformed in love of God and neighbor. And then we turn to share it. As we promise in our baptismal covenant, we share by word and example the good news of God in Christ. We extend our hands in service to our church and our community. For us, worship leads to formation, and formation leads to service. So, siblings in Christ, let's be attentive until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. On Wednesday, it's just a few days away, we enter into Lent, a season of listening and keeping listening, even when things get hard. Let's make plans to start our Lenten fast together here at 7 in the morning, early enough for you to get to work, noon on a lunch break, or 6 p.m. after. Let us start this listening together. As we pay attention through Lent, as we hold that attention until the morning star rises in us, as we share the goodness of Jesus' resurrection with our community, we are becoming and sharing Jesus' good news. We don't have to wait until that final day dawns to see God's glory revealed in and through us. Jesus reveals God's glory and humanity's place within it. So let us start our Lenten fast this Wednesday, so that together we may face our fears of relationship with God, that we may listen and keep listening, so until the morning star rises in our hearts and we are sent once again to share Jesus' Easter joy. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.